Christian brothers and sisters, we are gradually conforming to the culture. We're allowing the culture to drive us. We have left God's way.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pursue peace with all men. This is the clear and simple instruction of the writer of the Hebrews. Simple to understand, but oh, so hard to do. Nevertheless, the Word of God does not let us off the hook. Pursue with all men. In the first part of this message broadcast last week, Pastor Grant took us to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews to point out two reasons why God allows trouble. First, God shakes things up to call unbelievers to himself. Secondly, God shakes things up to call believers into a closer relationship with himself. Now, this evening, as Pastor Brian Grant picks up the concluding part of this message, we invite you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews and follow along as Pastor Grant continues with, Why is God shaking things up? Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
You know, in the November issue of Church Around the World, there is an article entitled, Be a Gracious Christian Online. I don't know if any of you read it. It was so funny. I didn't toss it, and as I was preparing the message, I was going to leave this section out, and the Lord made me pick that article up and gave me confirmation that I'm supposed to speak about this, because that article said so much. Be a gracious Christian online. It said so much about what the text is talking about. It said America is suffering from a goodwill deficit. That's what it calls it on social media. It says that Christians sometimes portray those they disagree with as not merely wrong, but as their enemy. I don't know those of you who are on social media, if you have noticed that. Nowadays, we don't just regard you. If you and I disagree, it's not just that we have a different point of view. Nowadays, you're an enemy. We're going to attack each other. As a result, the article says, Christians now post mean spirit comments. They retweet posts that they have never checked the factual, if it's factual, but they're willing to retweet posts that say terrible things about the person they regard as the enemy. But we must pursue peace. Now, I want to be clear. Peace does not mean absence of conflict. God is not saying that we can never disagree. But neither is God saying that we should not hold the powerful accountable. Nor is God saying we should not engage in public debate. I'm not saying just pretend and shut your mouth on everything. But I am also saying it's not everything we need to speak about. The Apostle James tells us, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and so slow to anger. We don't have to comment on everything. We need to ask God for wisdom. But here's what I'm telling you. If we're going to pursue peace, we will have to stop attacking people, and we will have to stop retweeting things designed to damage and crush other people because they have from the other party. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. Let us remember, blessed are the peacemakers. These Jewish Christians were surrounded. Think of it from a political sense. I spoke of it from the standpoint of their safety. But let's look at it from a political sense. These Jews were in the middle of two opposing political opinions. Do you realize that? There was the Roman government's opinion. There was the Jewish government's opinion. They were dead smack in the middle. And God says to them, pursue peace with everyone. And if you're a Christian, I am telling you, if you're a Republican, you can have fellowship with the Democratic Christians. If you're a Democrat, you can have fellowship. If you're independent, we can have fellowship. Amen. We are to pursue peace with everyone. Pursuing peace matters to Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace, and he expects his followers to be people who pursue peace. And whether you agree with me, I know I'm right, because God tells is what the Bible is saying. Amen? By the way, don't claim to be spirit-filled if you're not pursuing peace. Because one of the nine essentials of the spirit-filled life is peace. May God help us not to conform to the culture. My Christian brothers and sisters, we are gradually conforming to the culture. We're allowing the culture to drive us. We have left God's way. It is important. Peace is so important. It's the first thing that Jesus mentions here. I'm going to encourage you, my friend, listen, to start pursuing peace. Make a commitment to this morning. God, I'm going to be one who is going to pursue peace. I have some issues on a personal level. There are some family issues I need to resolve. There are some friendship issues I need to resolve. God, I'm going to pursue peace, but I'm even going to pursue peace when I'm on the internet. I'm not going to be attacking people, because, listen, one of the reasons why this newsletter, Church Around the World, is interested, it's really interested in spreading the gospel. And Church Around the World is bringing this up because it's realizing that Christians who say hateful and harsh things on the internet, you won't be able to go back and share the gospel on the internet. I've seen some try to do that. I've seen some people say some terrible things about people. Then a few weeks later, they give you a Bible verse. And the Bible asks the question, the book of James asks the question, can the same fountain send forth bitter water and sweet water? My friend, I want you to realize you're damaging your testimony, you're damaging your opportunity to share the gospel when you say harsh and hurtful things on the internet. May God help us to use our pen and our fingers to say words that pursue peace. Amen. Make sure to ask, and some of you who have written some rough things, you better put out an apology and ask people to forgive you for what you have said. And one last thing, let's keep politics outside this church. The devil would love to divide this church, but as the pastor of this church, I am going to do, God is helping me, everything to keep politics outside of this church. There are churches who are, the pastors are Republican, and he will make it very clear. He'll tell you who to vote for. Then there are others who are Democrats, and they will tell you who to vote for. I am committing, I will never tell you who to vote for, because God wants the Republicans who, if you're a Republican and you want to fellowship, you ought to be comfortable right here. Listen, if you're a Democrat, you ought to be comfortable right here. If you're an independent, you ought to be comfortable right here, because we're one family of God. Well, I'm saying a lot of stuff, I'm not in my notes, so I'm going to be a little over time. But let me just say this. One of the challenges with churches where the preacher is a Republican preacher, he will not confront anything that the president or other Republicans do that are wrong. And one of the problems when the preacher is a Democratic preacher and he's preaching the Democratic line, he's not going to confront what they do that are wrong. And I'm committing, I'm not going to be silent on anything the Bible speaks about, no matter who likes it. If God says it, by God's grace, pray for me that I will preach it with authority and with faithfulness to God. My friend, keep the politics outside of this church. If you must be a political person, we love everybody, but this might not be the place for you. A person who feels I must push a political point of view, this may not be the place for you. Because this is the place where we only want to push one point of view. We only want to push this point of view. May God help us as we move forward. Amen. We must pursue peace with everyone. But the text says we must pursue holiness. We must pursue holiness. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And then it jumps on to verse number 16, lest there be anyone fornicator like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Wow. We were going to take a look at the story, but I'll let you look at it on your own. In the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 29 through 34. Because I believe this text is giving us one of the biggest reasons why some Christians are not pursuing holiness. Do you remember what it was with Esau? He came in, he was hungry. His brother had an incredible bowl of stew, and Esau needed that stew so badly. He wanted it so badly. His brother, the schemer, said, "If you give me your birthright, I'll give you the stew." And this birthright, which carried spiritual connotations and spiritual blessings, Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Esau chose immediate gratification of the flesh rather than waiting for the blessing of God. In what way are you pursuing immediate gratification? What is it in your life? What is it that has you so caught up? What are you holding on to so tightly? God is warning us this morning. We need to get rid of these things that we're holding on to, because right now we're getting pleasure from them, but they are preventing us from enjoying the blessing of God. God says, pursue holiness. Let go of that thing. Have you ever heard of an ermine? Ermines live in the forest of Northern Europe and Asia, and they are known for their snow-white fur. They are spectacularly beautiful. They have snow-white fur. And an ermine will protect his fur at or her fur at all costs. They will not allow that spotless white fur to get soiled. And so the hunters, they use that against the ermine. So what they do, when they realize that the ermine is not in, has left their home, they usually live in the cleft of a rock or some hollow of a tree. If they realize that the ermine has left home, the hunter, he goes with a lot of grime. And he puts all that grime around the entrance to their home. And he puts the grime inside the cleft of the rock or the tree. And it's all grimy and dirty. And you see, the hunter, he doesn't want to just attack or shoot her. He wants to get that ermine where the fur is nice and smooth. Perfect fur. So after he has put all that mess on their home, he sends his dogs to chase them. And the dog goes searching for the ermine. And when the dog finds the ermine, he chases the ermine home. And the poor little ermine, he's running home thinking there is safety at home. But when the ermine reaches home and he's about to enter, there is dirt. The ermine cannot enter because there's dirt on the entrance. There's dirt on the inside. And the ermine, listen, from the standpoint of an ermine, purity is more precious than life. An ermine would rather die than get their white fur soiled. So the ermine will stay outside and allow himself to be trapped and caught. How important is purity and holiness to you? A.W. Tozer said, every man is as holy as he really wants to be. Are you as holy as you want to be right now? Do you know you are? This statement is really true. We are as holy as we want to be. Because if we're not satisfied that we're as holy as we ought to be, this morning we can make a decision. God, I want to pursue holiness. Song says, I want to be holy like you. Holy like you, Lord Jesus. Make me, I pray, holy like you. Holy like you, Lord Jesus. The song is right, but there's a little part of the song that's not quite right. God is not going to make you. The song says, make me, I pray, holy like you. And there are Christians who are sitting on the bench waiting for God to make them holy. He is not going to make you holy. If you want to be theological, we could mention the fact that there are two aspects to holiness or sanctification. There's positional sanctification and practical or progressive sanctification. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, He made you holy so you're fit for heaven. But guess what? The holiness that God is expecting is a pursuit of holiness. He says, pursue holiness every single day. God wants me to be pursuing Him every single day, becoming more like Jesus. May God help us. that we might pursue holiness. Jesus, the text says, we must pursue holiness. First, we must pursue peace. Second, we must pursue holiness. And finally, we must pursue fellowship with God. We must first pursue fellowship with God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Listen, we have not come to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is a physical mountain. God instead has brought us to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And I don't want you to miss this. The text says, verse number 22, you have come. We are there right now. Right now, my brothers and sisters, right now, we are in Mount Zion. Right now, we are in the city of the living God. In spirit, God has brought us there. One of these days when the rapture comes, we will get brand new bodies and we will occupy this new Jerusalem forever and ever. But right now, we are there. Amen. Listen, the text tells us that God the Father is there. The angels are there. Amen. And then it tells us the Old Testament saints are there. And it tells us that those of us whose names are registered in heaven are there. Hallelujah. I'm so glad my name is written there. Amen. But we're only there because Jesus is there. Amen. And the text tells us his blood speaks better things than that of Abel. After Cain killed Abel, Abel's blood shouted from the ground for vengeance. But thank God when Jesus was crucified, his blood did not cry for vengeance. His blood cried out for forgiveness and salvation. And so as a result, forgiveness and salvation is available today through the blood of Jesus. And anyone who asks him to come into their life, confesses their sin, and asks Jesus to cleanse them, he will cleanse them. And my Bible says, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. My friend, it doesn't matter what you have done. I want you to know this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. It can clean you up. It can give you a brand new life. It can give you a seat in this city of the living God. What a joy we have. Are you living with a heavenly perspective? You know, every Christian is in seated. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, we're seated in heavenly places. Sometimes we think it's when we die. No, right now, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, we are in Mount Zion. You see, Mount Sinai was a place of terror. Mount Zion is a place of joy. And right now we're seated in Mount Zion. Right now we have fellowship with God. And right now as we are spiritually in Mount Zion, God wants us to have fellowship and to pursue fellowship with him. Are you pursuing fellowship? Years ago, as I close with this story, years ago my family visited Morocco. And after an unforgettable day, it was unforgettable for more than one reason, but one of the reasons is because they tried to kidnap my eldest son, Nick. But after an unforgettable day, we caught a ferry back to Spain. It was a very luxurious ship. And as we settled in for the long ride, the captain walked by. As he walked by, my father-in-law stopped him and commended him on the vessel and commended him on how smoothly he had guided us from port. And just by him commending him and praising him for the wonderful condition of his ship and the work he was doing, just like that, a relationship began. And for the rest of the ride, it was amazing. For the rest of the ride, they toured the ship together. The captain took Brother Charles all through the ship. We never saw him. Every now and then he'd pass by, but they were gone the whole time, hours. Of course, as the ship neared port, instead of him showing Brother Charles the ship. There were no such good friends. He was open, and Brother Charles poured the gospel into his life. But here's what I really want to tell you with this story. You know, it's amazing. God gives you a strange story. I'm preparing this, and the story pops into my mind. But all of us were on the ship, but only Brother Charles was enjoying fellowship with the captain. All of us who are believers are in Mount Zion, but very few are enjoying fellowship with God. You know, Brother Charles wasn't seeking anything from the captain. He only wanted to commend him. I believe part of what is killing fellowship with God is that some Christians, the only communication they have with God is to ask for stuff. God, I need health. Would you heal me? God, I'm lonely. Can you give me a spouse? God, I need a job. God, it's always what you need. You really want to fellowship? You want to pursue God? You want to come closer to Him? Change the dynamic. Become a person of praise. Start telling Him how awesome He is. And not just sing songs. You know, we can sing songs and it doesn't come from here. Come from here. God, you're so awesome. God, you're so majestic. God, I love you so much. Start worshiping Him. Start adoring Him. Start praising Him. I want to tell you, if that starts coming from your heart and you start spending time in God's Word, you're going to find after a while, you know, just like that man was listening to Brother Charles more patiently. I'm not saying God will never be impatient, but I want to tell you the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. When you're in close fellowship with God, it's amazing what God will do. And suddenly, as you study God's Word and as you draw closer to Him, you're amazed as God starts taking you on a tour. Oh, this captain could only take Brother Charles on a tour of his little ship. God will take us on a tour of Mount Zion as He reveals to us the glories of heaven and the glories of all He has prepared for those who love Him. Oh, I hope you love Jesus this morning. And all I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants us to draw closer to Him. He wants us to pursue Him. Will you? Are you interested in doing that? May God help you. And Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, you may speak to every heart right now. Save those who need to be saved. And Lord, for those of us who need to make a decision, help us to make it even now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.